turn it to vibrate or turn it off. We'd appreciate your cooperation. Take your songbook, turn to page number 97. Let's all stand together as we sing Jesus Saves, page 97.
Our Lord's name.
be seated.
people serve the Lord. I'm glad that they have a heart to sing for us. I'm thankful for all of our singers. The choir did great this morning. That was a beautiful song they sung this morning. And we're so thankful for the folks that the Lord has brought our way that fill the ministry of singing and glorifying Christ, getting our hearts ready for the Word of God. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for serving, and thank you for giving of yourselves. Good to have first-time visitors with us this morning. I hope you enjoy yourselves. Thankful to have my new daughter-in-law with us today, and Clay. We're glad he's here as well. So they came in last night and took their honeymoon to see Mama and Daddy. So that's pretty good, huh? Worked out well. So we're glad they're here with us. So we're going to be in Mark chapter number 8 this morning. At the close of service, I won't be over shaking hands like I normally do. I think it's just allergies, but I'm not positive. It could be a cold, and I don't want to share it with you. So enjoy your afternoon when we're done. And don't forget to visit the kids' table. They have picked missionary Jonathan Owens and his family from Bulgaria, and they're going to try to be a blessing to them. Everything that you purchase will go to them. It does not go to the kids or anything at all. It goes to the missionaries. So they come up with this idea on their own and came to me and asked me if it'd be okay. I said, we'll try it one time and we'll see, and we'll go from there. So y'all can be supported. If you can, and if you can't, be in prayer for our missionaries. Certainly they need our prayer. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36. Mark chapter 8, verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you would, hold your place there, then flip over to Psalms chapter number 90. Psalms chapter number 90, verse 10. Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 10. Psalms chapter 90, verse number 10. With Mark 8:36 in mind, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's read Psalms 90, verse 10, 11, and 12. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This morning, I'm going to ask you a question that was asked over 2,000 years ago by the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Lord in Mark chapter number 9. And he said in this question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? As we read there in Psalms chapter number 90, verse 10, the Bible tells us that our lifespan remains very brief. I know over the years they have increased the lifespan. It has moved a little bit further up and up. And people are living, Brother Jim, like your mom's in her 90s, mid-90s now, close. Sister Swagman, I think you're 62. I won't tell you, but she's reaching near close to 90. And so life is there, and we've been given some time. But even considering that, life is very short. The lifespan of humans is very, very short. So with this question that the Lord asked, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's the thought this morning. That's the thought. Now you know as well as I do, the most important part of us all is inward. The most important part of us all is inward. Our soul is the most important part. But I'm telling you, I fail and I falter at this. I sometimes spend more time on the outward appearance than I do that of the eternal man. You know, when we go and do personal hair jobs, I don't have many examples left. Y'all get hair colorings, you get your hair dyed. I remember in the 80s, how many of you in the 80s and late 70s, you men, if you'll tell us, how many of you got a perm? They did it, didn't they? Yeah. I'm sure they did. We hair all curled up, and maybe that's what happened to mine. I got pulled out back then. I don't know, but we spent a whole lot of time, you know, buying clothes and shopping and taking care of the outward man, buying annual fitness passes to the many different outlets. You can go work out 24 hours a day now. I mean, just check yourself in and check yourself out, and Planet Fitness, where they don't judge nobody. You just come look at. They even feed you donuts once a month. They want to make sure you're coming back. You've got all this. We put all of this effort into the outward man. But here's the question that the Lord asks: what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? How long? Just ask yourself this: how long has it been since you thought about and considered the value of a soul? I mean, just sit down and you ponder that. If the Lord asked this question, I think it's pretty important. I think it's good that we revisit this here question and we revisit this question. As Charles Spurgeon said, dear friend, he said the preaching of the cross and the crucified Savior should be our alpha and omega of every message. Amen. It should be about Jesus. And so if Jesus come up with this question, he asked this question: what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When is the last time that you and I have sit down and really pondered the thought of how much a soul is worth? I think, dear friend, if you'll just look back at the cross of Calvary and you'll look at the writings of the Gospels and you see the cross of Calvary, and you'll see Jesus suffering in shame so that he can redeem the souls of men. I think, dear friend, you would find that the value of souls is great. It is great. And Christ asked this question. And you know, we're in the great quest and great strive that we might gain riches, we might get property, that we might have success. I read a quote the other day. I think it was Vince Lombardi that said this. In his quote, he said, "In the dictionary, success comes is the, and only in the dictionary does success come before work." Only in the dictionary does success come before work. And you know, Vince Lombardi was a man of hard work. And he was a man that pushed others to work hard so that they could have success, dear friend. And we strive for riches and we strive. Let me ask you this, dear friend. What if right now, Brother Ethan, at this moment, I could pull out a title, a piece of paper, and on that title was the title of the earth, and I had the authority given to me by the Creator. God would say, "Okay, Lane, you go ahead and choose who you will and who you want, for God created the heavens and the earth, and all that is in there is for His purpose and His pleasure." And so God says, "Lane, I want you to give the earth to somebody." Do you understand? That's a lot of property. I mean, that's a lot of, I mean, all the kingdoms would pay tribute to you, Ethan. The IRS on April 15th, when they finished gathering up all of our taxes here in the USA, they would write a check to Ethan for his percentage. Say, "Here you go. China, here you go. Russia, here you go." All the hacks and collusion going on with it, here you go. And then give it to him. Heaven is there. Do you understand even the value of that is passing? Heaven and earth shall pass away. But listen, God's word is forever. Even if he owned it, even if he had it, every bit of it was yours. You're on promise 20, maybe 70 years, maybe 90. And then the value. That's the question. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's the question today. You're striving, you're working, you're hustling and you're bustling and you're trying to get ahead. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Book written by Solomon. Solomon was given the wisdom of God, and his wisdom surpassed and exceeded that of all known men at that time, and even men today. Solomon was a very wise man. But even more than that, the Holy Spirit of God moved upon Solomon to write the book of Ecclesiastes. So you have the wisdom that Solomon retained in his body, but you had God himself writing this passage. And as God wrote this passage, listen to what he said. Verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. And verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, turneth about to the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with the hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Verse 10, is there anything whereof if may be said, see, this is new, or he hath been already of old time, which was from before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek, search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath given to the sons of man to the exercise therewith. Verse 14. I have seen all the works that were done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Even the great Solomon, the great man of wisdom, the man that was given wisdom by God and given to God, Solomon come to this conclusion. All is vanity. Let me tell you something, dear friend. When wisdom begins to call and wisdom begins to stir the heart, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. I'm telling you, when you ask God, God will tell you that there is profit and profitable things, and that which is profitable is a man's soul. That is what is profitable. You can gain the whole world. You can labor to and fro. You can get, you can gain. But dear friend, if you lose your soul, you spend eternity in a place called hell without Christ, it will not be because God did not send his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but everybody has had this opportunity. The Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men.
Amen.
What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When's the last time you stopped and you thought, you pondered, what's the value of a soul? I believe Christ I ask this question for a purpose and for a reason. And the Bible says in Psalms that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And for years and years to come, this will be a question. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and he shall lose his own soul? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the cost of Christ, the cost of Christ on the cross of Calvary is, in my opinion, there is no estimation value that can be given for it. No estimation value. But God asked this question. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you ever wonder, different? Listen to me. Do you ever stop in the midst of your heartache, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of that argument with your spouse, in the midst of that difficulty with your boss at work, or in the trouble of those teenage years when you're trying to guide and direct and try to help your child along the way? Do you ever wonder and stop and in the back of your mind during that sickness and that heart attack and that cancer and that situation that's going on in your family, does the thought ever arise in your mind, does God love me? It does. You know it does. You know it does. And you know why that thought arises in our heart and our mind? It arises for one reason and one reason only. We forget what Christ went through on the cross of Calvary to save the souls of men. To men gain and they reach and they get and they try and they covet and they take and they gather up all the wealth of this world. You understand that God said this: my son left all of his riches and became poor, that you and I might be rich through his poverty. What was important? Not the riches of heaven. Because the riches that we get after, and the riches that we search after, and the things that we desire, and the things that we want, dear friend, they're nothing. They're created by God. They have absolutely no value to Him. He made the street of gold, gates of pillar of pearls in heaven. But we fight and we covet and we desire. What was important to Jesus was not wealth. The Bible says He came to this world to minister and to be a ransom for many. What was important? The souls of men, women, boys and girls and those around the world that He would die for. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ endured the cross, dear friend, for one reason and one reason only. It was not vain. It was not so that He could say, the King of the Jews. He died on the cross of Calvary, dear friend, that He might redeem the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Isaiah said it so wonderfully in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 through 6. He said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That whole purpose, dear friend, was because this question would be asked: what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So Christ asked the question. I think it's an important question to ponder. The cross, which is, in my estimation, you could not lay a human value on it. Listen for me, just for a moment, dear friend. Just listen for a moment. You that have children, you that have grandchildren, Sister Barbara, David, I think it won't be long. You'll be having great-grandchildren here in a couple of years, possibly. Your kids, your grandkids are getting up there. Some of you are already there, where you're going to have great-grandkids. Soon, Brother Dick, you got these precious grandkids right here, right now in front of you. Tell me which one of these here. Tell me which one of your kids right here that you would give for the best person you know. You think in your mind just for a moment about the best person that you know. The most honorable, the most upright, the one that's
that's hardworking, that's moral, that's the best friend that you could have ever imagined having. And all of a sudden, it comes to a point where that one person, if he didn't get your grandchild or get your child, him or her, whoever it might be, would die and go off into eternity without you. Which one of you would give it? Listen to me, dear friend. God didn't look down from heaven and find the best. God didn't look down from heaven and say, there's Enoch. You know what he did when he found Enoch? He took him. He didn't look down from heaven and say, oh, there's some moral people. There's some good, hardworking people. There's some great people that attend. They got memberships at Lock Haven Baptist Church. There's some good people that sing in the choir down there in all those churches. God looked down from heaven and he saw sinners. And he saw souls that would spend eternity in hell. And he saw men and women and girls and boys that without Christ, they would have no hope. And Christ was given for the worst. Paul said, I am chiefest of sinners. Not one of us would give our child for the best of us all. But Jesus gave his son for the worst of all. So you place a value on that, dear friend. You place a value on the cross of Calvary. You can't find it. But Jesus asked this question. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What's the value of a soul? Jesus gave his life, and he would have gave it just for one soul. Just for one. Now, with those thoughts in mind, Jesus asked the question, what's it worth if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And then we have the story of the cross, and we see that Jesus died for sinners. He said, the righteous need not, they need no help. He came to seek that which was lost. We see Jesus gave himself for those who could not help themselves. Here's the next thought, and we're done. Let's contrast this just for a moment. There's time and there's eternity. There's time and there's eternity. And let's look at those just for a moment. Just for a moment, if you would. Look over in James. James chapter number 1. Because we put so much energy, dear friend, on this here body while we're here. I read some time ago that they come up with some method that if you was wealthy enough and well capable, I don't know if it ever comes to fruition, but if you was wealthy enough and you could do this, you could afford this, that if you got sick, they would deep freeze you and wake you up out of that freeze after the cure come back around. Now, I don't know if it's happened. I think it's kind of foolish. I don't want to risk being deep frozen and hope they can hit the deep frost because they done got your money. What you gonna do? Wake up and fall out? Say, I want a refund because it didn't work? I think they'd hit you another, you'd be like frozen, like Elsa or somebody. Where did I tell y'all to go? James. I'm over here in 1 John. James chapter number 1. Look at verse number 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass. The flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his way. All right, look over here in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So life is like a flower, just fades away. How many of you got flowers, you ladies? How many of you got flowers at Valentine's Day?
They still alive? Or they faded away? You're still alive? They faded, right? That's how life is. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Right? Like a flower, like a vapor. How many of you years ago used to cook your coffee on the stove, on the top of the little stove top thing there, and then that little, probably had a filtration system, the little thing up there. How many of you ever left your coffee sitting up on that thing and then come back about 3 hours later? All your coffee's gone, right? And all the vapors are gone, right? That's how life is. Flowers come up, they bloom. The heat of the sun comes out, they fade away and they perish. Vapor comes up, you see it for a moment, and then it's gone. See, that's time. That's time. And this is where we spend most of our worry about, is on time. Now go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter number 12. Verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, I will build greater, there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. In verse 19, and I will say to my soul, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's time. This is what we do with time. Look at the next verse. Look at eternity. But God said unto him, God lives in eternity. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, time. We gather. We look about. Got to tear down. Got to build bigger. Oh, my soul, look at all I have. It's time to take it easy. Time to lay back. Time to take a cruise. Time to spend some time taking care of myself. Well, what you been doing for the last 60, 70 years? Taking care of yourself. What shall it profit a man? You say, Pastor, you think we should have it? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it at all. I think God desires for us to be blessed and have abundance. I think God desires for us to have things to enjoy. I think He gives us the strength of body and mind and back to work that we might, by the sweat of our brow, earn the bread of our keeping and put aside that which we could live by. He says that it is wise that we live in inheritance to our children's children. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what shall it gain a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? What I'm saying is, dear friend, what have you done with Jesus? In the midst of all you're getting and all you're doing and all you're gathering, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus?
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say, bring me your good works, because good works are not capable enough, because we would stand before Him and say, look what we did. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to His mercy, dear friend. See, listen. Time is for a moment, for a little bit, for a season. God, who is in eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. For the wages of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life. Eternity is beyond my... I can't even give you a good explanation. But I do know this, that God is outside of time. And when Jesus asked this question, it is a very important question. Now here's the thought, and I'll close, I'm done. According to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. But have what? I want you to have. I want you to have a pension. I want you to have a 401. I want you to work. You know, as many times I've stood in this pulpit the last 11 years, dear friend, I'm for work. You have to work. That's God's way. It's God's plan to work. I want you to have. I want you, listen, if you can, I want you to have your home and a boat and all those things. I want you to have those things. If you can't have, I want you to have a decent living. I want you to be able to sustain yourself through retirement. I want you to have that, dear friend. But I don't want you to have and have and have. And gain and gain and gain. And then one day I got to preach a funeral up here. Because you never dealt with Jesus. And that's what this question is all about. What shall a man be gained if he gets all the world but loses his soul? Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't think it gets much plainer than this. And I think this morning that there's one sitting here in the sound of my voice that's never trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Oh, what a day. Our church cannot save you. I don't have words of magic that I could hookah pookah over top of you. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that He might redeem you. You're going to go to heaven through Christ and Christ alone. I beseech you, brother, sister, come. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can know that you have eternal life. Through Jesus Christ.